Good morning. It's good to see everybody. We're glad you're here today. We are, for our sermons right now, we are in the middle of a series talking about what it means to look at our identity, kind of the core of who we are, and understand that if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a renewed, a new identity in Christ. Kind of what we've been saying all through this series so far is that what the world wants us to do, kind of the culture around us, the way the world sees itself, and the challenge to us is the world is telling us, go find yourself, go create your own identity, speak positive things about yourself, and you can just make, you can be whoever you want to be, and whatever you say about yourself, that is true of you, and you just make your own identity. And what we've been trying to say is that what we, you know, what we need is not just to have our identity affirmed, to create my own identity and have everybody else affirm that. What we actually need is a redeemed identity. There's an old Saturday Night Live skit. A guy named Al Franken played a character called Stuart Smalley, okay? And he was pretty comical, all right? Stuart Smalley had this, he created his own show called Daily Affirmations with Stuart Smalley, and it would begin, his Saturday Night Live character, it would begin by saying as he's sitting there staring at himself in the mirror, it would say that he is a caring nurturer, a member of several 12-step programs, although not a licensed therapist. And then he would look in the mirror and he would say this, I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I am good enough, I am smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. And he was this nerdy character, and it was kind of poking fun at the, you know, therapeutic, just say it enough and you'll believe it kind of culture. In fact, we're going to show you a little bit of this, okay? Because there's one of these episodes or one of these sketches he does where he has a guest. And if you don't recognize the guest, I don't know what rock you've been underneath for the last 50 years. Come see me afterwards and I explain who this is to you for those of you who are younger and don't know. But you will get the comedy in this. Those of you who are at home, we cannot stream this out. So just hang with us and we'll be back in a minute. But for those of you in here, check out the screen. So there you go, right? Just say good things about yourself and everything will be okay. And there's nothing wrong with that approach, except there is a sense in which we know that doesn't work. We kind of live in this world where people are we're trying to be told that you should find your identity in you. Look within yourself, just say positive things, determine who you want to be. But down deep in our soul, we know that there is something in that that doesn't work. We end up broken and twisted and in need. And we've learned from this series so far, so those of you who are visiting with us this morning, just a quick recap, we learned our first week, we said that our true identity starts with the fact that we understand that we are a creature, there is a creator, that God has made us for his purpose, his glory. We were made in the image of God, but there is a problem. We're going to come back to this in a minute, that when Adam and Eve chose to rebel, chose to say, I don't need a God, I want to be God, I'm going to create my own identity. And Adam and Eve functionally said, I don't need God to give me my identity. I'm going to determine who I am for myself, and I'm going to determine what's right and wrong for me. That was the central lie of the original sin in the garden. That what happened is that brokenness entered the world, and now all of us and our identity are both image bearers of God who are also at every place have that twisted and broken, and we're bent in on ourselves. And that last week we talked about the fact that there are these enemies to our true identity of the flesh, the world, and the devil, and that all three of these enemies are kind of echoing the same message, and that message is, you are the most important thing in the universe, make life about yourself. But that doesn't work. And what we need is to wrestle with this, and the way that God deals with this is not by helping us through self-improvement or going through therapy, although I think there are places where we need these things. Your need is not a reformation or a change or turning a new leaf. Your need is for God to do something revolutionary in your life to give you a new identity. And so our theme verse for this series is 2 Corinthians 5:17, where Paul writing says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. Something like something that you have been totally, like if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been totally recreated. You have not had God just affirm your identity. That's what the world is constantly saying. Well, I am this way and God has to just love me the way I am. He does love you the way you are. But his intention is not to leave you in that old identity. His intention is to give you a new identity that is in Christ. That's the big theme this morning, in Christ. We're going to talk more about this. And so kind of back to Stuart Smalley. We look at that and we kind of laugh at that. Not kind of, that clip is hilarious, right? And the world just says we need to just say positive things to ourselves. But hear me, follower of Jesus, there is a little bit of truth in that for us. Not that I sit around and say I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me, and that will give me self-esteem. What we need to learn as followers of Jesus is the art of preaching the gospel to ourselves. We need to have those moments where we look in the mirror and we say what the scriptures say that we are. Not what I say that I am. I look to the scriptures and find out how the Bible defines me, and I begin to let that filter because I need to hear it over and over and over again because those enemies are strong and they're constantly telling me, nope, don't listen to that, you be you. And the scriptures are saying, no, there is a better, deeper, glorious identity in the person of Christ. And as you read the Bible, as you really start to dig into the scriptures, and you get especially in the New Testament, and you start seeing that Christ came and lived his life, and he died on the cross for you and for me, and he rose again, and that because of that, when I turn and I trust in him, you begin to realize what the scriptures are telling us happened there. Like I think most of us in here have not really wrestled deeply with this. Usually if people have this, you know, you'll run into somebody, and maybe some of you have a background story like this where, like, you were like a hot mess on the level of, prostitute, drug dealer, that your life was utter wreck and you were headed towards prison and death, and God saved you from that. People who kind of come from that background will understand what I'm saying. But if you grew up in church and you were kind of a good kid and went to church a lot, and what we actually believe is that all I needed was a tune-up. I was a good person, and what God did is he took a good person and made me a little bit better. And because we believe that, we can't really get to the authenticity of our true identity. Listen, God didn't give you a tune-up. He made you a new you when you got saved, if you're a follower of Jesus. And he gave you a new identity and is learning how to live out of that identity. And you start reading the scriptures, like, you think, well, what is that identity? And we want to say, I'm a Christian. That's true. But do you realize that when the Bible speaks of you and me, there are only three places in the Bible where the Bible calls you that says your identity is a Christian? Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's said a few more times. But you know what the number one marker in terms of the Bible saying, who are you? Like the question, this is the big question, who am I? We want to answer that question, who am I? You know the number one marker in the Bible that says this is who you are is? It is this little phrase. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. That something is, there is a miraculous, glorious truth that theologians call our union with Christ. That God has literally placed us in Christ. And the implications of that, listen, Paul alone, the apostle Paul alone, over 220 times when speaking about believers in Jesus, says that the marker, the identifier of what we are is that we are in Christ, in him, in the beloved. That there is something about this union, this being united with Christ, that completely redefines you. Grab your Bible, if you will, and find the book of Ephesians. If you don't have Bibles in your rows, there are Bible, or there, it's not every row, but several rows, there are baskets that have Bibles in them. If you don't have a Bible this morning, we would love for you to get one of those and be reading along with us. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And what I'm going to do is I'm really going to be looking through this. You're going to see the number of times in one passage that this great apostle throws this idea out. And we're going to look briefly at the wealth of the blessings. Like, one passage is enough. And what I want you to do is, as we look at this passage, if you are here this morning and you have trusted Christ, you have repented of your sin, you've trusted in Jesus, I want you to understand this, that everything in this text is already true of you. This Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 is your identity if you are in Christ. It is who you are. Let it sink down. Meditate. Like, take this passage this week and just every time you feel doubt, every time you feel guilt, every time you like you want to feel I'm not enough and I can't do this and I can't go on, go back to this and just read it again and go, I am in Christ and this is all true of me. So grab your Bible. Let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 14. If you grabbed one of our Bibles, it's going to be on page 1078. And here we go. I'm going to read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Do you see it? Blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us. If you haven't caught this, you're going to do these for us, all right? So even as he chose us, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, in which he has blessed us. See it there? Again. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things, things in heaven and things on earth. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope might be to the praise of his glory. You also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now, when we preached Ephesians, it took me 5 weeks to get through those verses, okay? There is a wealth of glorious blessing for every person in here who is in Christ. So the question is, how do I know if I'm in Christ? Well, have you seen the beauty of Christ? Have you turned from yourself and trusted in Jesus? Have you actually been rescued by God? I'm not talking, if you're religious in here, you go to church, you grew up being a good person, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that there is at some point in time in your life, you had a radical moment where God took you from darkness and put you in light, where God made the dead person alive, where you believed, you looked to Jesus and said, I'm not trusting me, I'm not trusting my works, I'm not trusting my effort anymore. I am placing my faith wholly in Christ, what he did on the cross for me, his resurrection, and he is now my king, my ruler. Have you done that? Have you come to a place where you've trusted in Jesus? Like, this is one of the preaching points for this. I think, like, I fear, Billy Graham used to say that he feared that as much as 50% of people who go to church regularly don't really know Jesus. And the reason you're struggling with identity is not because you need to figure out what your identity in Christ is. The reason you're struggling with your identity is that your identity is still in something else other than Christ. And I hope for some of you, like, I literally hope there will be people that are part of our congregation who've been coming to church here, who all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will prick your heart and go, listen, I do church, I'm a good person. I kind of believe, I have never turned from my sin. I have never been placed in Christ. The Bible talks about this in a very unique way. The way Scripture speaks of this is it tells us that we are one of two options, that we are either in Christ or we are in Adam. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22, listen to what Paul says. Hear the phrase, in Christ and Adam. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man also has come to resurrection from the dead. And listen to this. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. This is an echo of a larger passage of scripture in Romans 6. I'm not going to read it this morning, where Paul goes into a lengthy comparison of people who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. It is an idea that we don't talk a lot about here, but you need to hear it. It's a theological idea called the federal headship of Adam and of Christ. And here's the basic idea. You either stand under one of two representatives. You stand under Adam as your human representative or Jesus Christ, who came in the world to be the second Adam as your representative. Let me illustrate it like this. There's Mike. There is Mike, who is, I got a little baseball on here. Because I love me some baseball. Go Cards, right? To the glory of God and the good of his people. Boo Cubs, same thing. Listen, I grew up in church. My mom and dad had me in church all the time. In fact, they believed that they kept me in church and would keep me out of trouble. So like most kids who grew up in church, I learned how to get in all kinds of trouble in church. But I was a church kid. I thought I was a good kid. I thought I had it all together because I went to church. My dad's a deacon. My mom was singing in a choir, which was never a good idea because when your mom's in the choir, she could see you acting up in the back row in the church, which means sometimes I got whoopings after church because they didn't keep me out of trouble in church. My mom could see me. Like she'd be in the choir and be like, I was like, uh-oh, this ain't going to end well, right? I am an ENTJ in Myers-Briggs. If you don't know what that is, go do it. I don't know what I am in Enneagram. Those of you who are Enneagram people, I've never done it yet. Okay, maybe I should, but here's the bottom line is I am a type A personality who knows what I want, and I don't feel, I think, and all that kind of stuff. I am an ENTJ, and this is kind of a representative of me, okay? But the problem is that when I came into this world, I came in Adam. I was born under this identity that Adam, our first parent, looked to God and said, I don't want a God, I want to be God, I'm going to live my life for myself, and he became my representative. Now, you get this, okay? There is a sense in which your own family, you are in, like the Hubbard kids are in Hubbard. I mean, I'm just telling you, okay? I watch my sons. And you watch me every week up here, just, you know, the way I fidget and the way I stand and the way I move back and forth if you're here. Like, I got these quirks up here. I look at my sons and the way they just stand and talk to people. And my son Andy, my son Josiah, they do the same thing I do. They are, like, totally in Hubbard. They're under me, and they're just like me. We joke with them all the time. We use the old line, you know, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out and make another one just like you. And we are living proof that that is true because all of our kids look alike. They talk alike. I mean, and you get this. Like, there are parts of being, you know, in whatever your family. I almost named a few, but I won't do that this morning. You know what? There's a sense in which that is totally, like, a large part of who you are is there. But in a larger sense, we are in Adam. Our identity is wrapped up in the fact that we now... Everything that happened to Adam and everything that was given to Adam was given to us. Adam sinned. We are wrapped up in our sin. Adam rebelled and was bent in on himself. This is who we are, and he stands as our representative. Think of a defense attorney who stands in front of the court, and he is now the representative for the person who is the defendant. Everything the defense attorney says and does is what really the defendant is saying and doing. Adam is our representative as human beings. We come into this world, we are in Adam. But it's not just that we are in Adam. Adam is in us. He's got his little apple here, right? Body apple. Now, I was intentional with this. I used an ice cream container to represent Mike having Adam in me. Because if this is in the house, Mike ain't got no control. It's proof that I need Jesus, okay? Ice cream's a good gift. Not a giant bowlful every night, which shows that I have this taint of Adam in me. But when I am born and when I live in this world, this is who I am. every human identity that is going on in the world where people are saying, I'm claiming my own identity. I'm going to live the way I want to. I want to be me. All they are saying is this. Adam is in me, and I am in Adam. And that defines us. And here Paul says, and because of this, what rules and reigns is death. The wages of sin are death. This is our identity. This is the human identity until Jesus came. And apart from Christ, like if you were here today and you're like, I don't know if I want to believe, I don't buy into this stuff, you need to understand in terms of the way God sees you, but also in terms of the way you live in this world, you prove every day that you are in Adam and that Adam is in you. But along comes Jesus, and Jesus lives the life I should have lived. He dies the death that I should have died, and now he calls us. And it's not Jesus just taking me and making me a little bit better. What happens is on one day when I was 7 years old, I went to a church service, and in that church service, the pastor preached a sermon. It was a revival. We used to have these week-long revivals, and you'd go sit all week. Like it was when you were seven, it was like awful because that meant we were sitting on hard pews with my mom whacking me every night because we were, you know, in this church service, and you know, it's hard for a kid to sit still. We'd sing all these songs, it was hard. But one night in a church service, in a revival service, I don't know what the pastor said, but I will tell you this, I know this. That night the lights came on. And God made a dead heart alive. And I went back to my mom and dad's house, and I trusted in Christ. I prayed with them and said, I'm turning from me. I'm giving my life to you. And here's what happened. Mike, who was in Adam, transactionally by God, I did nothing to make this happen. I did nothing to deserve this. God, for his own glory and for my good, took me out of Adam and put me in Christ. But that ain't it. The grace of God that cleanses took this out of me and left it here. I'm not Mike who's in Jesus who still has Adam in me. God placed, like Christ is now in me. And so what is the identity of the follower of Jesus? We are people who are no longer in Adam and no longer dominated by Adam being in us. Yes, that old sin is still there. Yes, the taint, but we're moving towards this identity because we already are this. God has placed me in Christ. I am in Jesus. I am united with him. But not just that, God has placed Christ in me. I have the Holy Spirit, the presence of God who dwells in me. This is my new identity. I am in Christ. Listen, here's the problem. We get freaked out because somebody comes and says, how can you tell me you love me when you don't affirm my identity? And we're nervous because we don't know how to respond to that. Our answer to that is that we have something better for you than that. What we're offering you is not just the affirmation of you being in Adam and having Adam in you. That is every world's offer to identity. What we're telling you is God has something gloriously better for you when you are placed in Christ. That's our identity. That's our hope. And when this text, as just one of hundreds of passages that speak to us about who we are. And it keeps saying, you are in Christ, you are in him. You are, like passage after passage after passage. It is saying something. It's not just saying, oh, this random thing about, well, I'm kind of connected to Jesus, gotta go to church. It is saying, because of the gospel, you are if any man, do you hear it? If any man is, here you go, in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. This is who you are. Not who you will be. Not who you will be. This is who you are, follower of Jesus. And what we now are people who are becoming who we already are. We're not people who are trying to be who we should be. That difference is massive. God, when he looks at you, already sees this. Period. And if I press this farther, and I'd have to get a way bigger box, Jesus says this, that I hold them, and I'm in them, and they are in me. This is Jesus' own words in John, Gospel of John. And he says, I'm in them, they are in me, and nobody can snatch them out of my hand. Nobody. Nobody can snatch them out of my hand. That's what he says. Jesus is saying about you, nobody can snatch them. That includes you, by the way. We believe that if Christ truly saves you, there's nothing that will happen that will cause you to be unsaved, because it is God who does the saving. He's placed you in Christ. He's not taking you out of Christ. But then it says, I am in my Father's hands, and nothing can snatch them or me from his hands. Now, picture this. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. And now, imagine a giant container I put in here that says Christ is in God. So I am in Christ. Christ is in God. Who's messing with that? None of those enemies are going to be able to, like, the flesh, the world, devil, they got nothing on this. What's our problem then? We don't know it. We need to look ourselves in a mirror, and when I feel the guilt arise because of my past life, I need to look at myself in the mirror and say, I'm in Christ. When I feel shame, I need to look myself in the mirror and say, I'm in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When I feel doubt and feel insufficient, I need to hear the voice of the Spirit to remind me I am in Christ. What is true of Jesus is true of me. This is the hope. And if you're here today, you're a follower of Jesus, done. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, our cry to you is to see the beauty of Christ and run to this, because this is the offer. I could spend weeks just unpacking all the ideas here, but let's just talk about what this means in three different ways real quick. There are three different ideas that being in Christ represents. And so the first thing is, when the Bible speaks of us being in Christ, when the Bible speaks of us being in Christ, we are in Christ positionally. We are in Christ positionally. In other words, we've been placed in Christ. It is a position. It is a way. Like, we are there. That everything the Bible says of Christ, it says of me. Just look at the text. Verse 3. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Past tense, it's done. We are chosen before the foundation of the world to be blameless before God in him. Now, do you hear that? The text of Scripture in Ephesians 1 is saying, follower of Jesus, you have been chosen to be blameless. Do you feel blameless today? Heavens no. The old Adam is still there. It's still part of, but as far as God is concerned, you were chosen before the foundation of the world to be blameless, to be seen as blameless before him. Verse 5, you were predestined to the adoption of sons and daughters in Christ. Family. We'll talk more about that in, I think, next week. Verse 7, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Verse 9 says, God has made the mystery of his will known to us in Christ. Verse 10, we are included in the plan to unite all things in Christ. Listen, all of creation will be united in Christ, and God has chosen to make us part of that story by preaching the gospel, by being the church together. It says, verse 12 says, those who hope in Christ will praise his glory. Verse 13 says, in him we hear the gospel and believed, leading to our salvation. Verse 13 and 14 says, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit in him. Verse 14 says, we have the guarantee of our eternal inheritance. We have, not will have, not are looking for. We have the guarantee for our eternal inheritance in Christ. We are in Christ.
Christ. It's what defines us. It is what your identity is, follower of Jesus. This is who you are. People will say, well, does that mean that I can just live just the way I want to because I'm in Christ? No, because if Christ is in you and you are in Christ, it's going to be transformative. You are going to be moving towards the person you already are because of the power of God in you. And if that's not happening, you need to go back and ask, am I really in Christ or am I in Adam? If your attitude is, I believe in Jesus so I can do what I want, that's probably a sign that you're not really in Christ. You went through a religious ritual. You did something that was part of your heritage. You may have just wanted to belong, but you never trusted in Jesus. Because one of the things that will happen in you is if you are in Christ, you will begin to feel the beauty of that and it will transform you. We are in Christ. This is who we are. And here's the big idea. Here's scripture after scripture starts saying it like this. We look at the life of Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem. And what the Bible says is my real birth was in Bethlehem. He lived this sinless, perfect, righteous life. That's my life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's not my life now that God is looking at. It's the life of Jesus. That's my account. That's my life. I was in Christ when he was tempted by Satan on that mountain. I was in Christ. I was there. Not physically, representatively. He is my representative. I was there. I was there at the cross in Christ when he gave his life, shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sins. And so when we baptize people, we quote the scripture where we say, we were buried, not we will be, we were buried with Christ in the baptism of his death. And I was there on Easter Sunday morning. I was raised to walk in newness of life. His life is my life. His death is my death. His resurrection is my death. I've already died in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That literally what the scriptures are trying to say is that God positionally, transactionally, believer in Jesus, looked at you and said, your life is no longer defined by your failures or your successes. Your life is no longer defined by who you are. You are who you are, but you are who you are in Christ. And so the record of your life is no longer what matters. Your record is the record of Jesus Christ who loved you and came for you. You are in Christ. Get that. That is what union of Christ with Christ means. There is always a battle between the idea of becoming and being. Like philosophy, if you study philosophy, one of the great questions is, what's more important, becoming or being? And you have all these philosophers who have these arguments back and forth. And what happens is most of us who are doing religion, what we think is being is moving towards becoming. I'm sorry, becoming is moving towards being. So we ask, are you following Jesus? I'm trying to. Are you a Christian? I think so. I'm working on it. Do you hear that? And the truth of the matter is that our identity, what we need to learn is that I'm not moving towards my identity, I'm moving from it. It's not, are you a Christian? By the grace of God, I am in Christ. And who I am, my being, will start moving into who I become as I will become more like that. The transformation of the gospel is a beautiful thing, but it starts with a new identity that is in Christ. And what you will find is all these passages where it talks about in Christ, they're all past tense. They're not saying work on being in Christ, try harder to be in Christ, do more, you might be in Christ. They're saying if you have trusted in Christ, you are in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Do you get that? That's who you are. Preach it. But it's not just positionally. It's not just that God has placed us in Christ positionally. It's relationally. That being in Christ means that I now have the fellowship with Christ, that Christ is, I am in Christ, I'm connected to him. He is in me, I'm relationally, like there is this beautiful relationship with Christ and myself that is intimate, that is close, that is connected. Jesus compares this to growing grapes. He says, here's how it works. He says, the way a grape vine is attached, or a branch from the vine is attached to the vine, so are you with me. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And he says, listen, if anyone, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, listen, connection, being in Christ is very much like a vine and a branch. The branch is where the fruit grows. The character of Christ is developed, but the way that character grows is by being connected, attached to the vine. And that Christ in me and I'm in Christ is much like that, that I am now attached to the source of life, and there's a relationship with Christ that is vibrant, that is real. And here's what it means. If I'm in Christ, first of all, it means that I can know this, that Christ loves me, that he is for me, that he is, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you, that I am never alone. I may feel alone, but I can say, listen, I am in Christ. So I know that even though my room right now feels empty, I am not alone. Christ is here, and I just need to seek to know him, to walk with him, to interact with him, to be close to him, because when I'm close to him, I experience the joy of his presence. I'm in Christ. But it's also power. The power to be transformed into the image of Jesus, to become who we already are, to be changed. And so I am in Christ relation. I am in Christ positionally. I am in Christ relationally. There's a relationship. But the third thing is I am in Christ trajectorally. And I know that's a horrible adjective here, but I couldn't come up with anything that was better. Here's what the scriptures tell us. That there is an end to this being in Christ, which is the promise that the person I already am, there's a promise that one day I will become fully that person. Romans 8 says it like this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, in other passages, all those words, justified, glorified, you find phrases where it says, we are this in Christ. Ephesians 1, all those words show up there and tell us we are already justified. We are already redeemed in Christ. But here he says, those whom he foreknew and predestined, those whom he chosen, Ephesians 1 says we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. But look at this. It says two things. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. Now let's explain this, okay? Let's get back to Mike, okay? Here I am again, and one of my problems is I don't even know how to get this lid off. I just broke it. There we go. Here's Mike. Mike is not going to become a robot. The heavenly version of Mike, I'm still going to be Mike. So I get to be like Mike. See, get it? That just popped in my head, had nothing to do with anything, and I don't know. That was not the Spirit of the Lord, just so you know. I'll probably still be an ENTJ. The person, this is who I'm wired to be. That's not wrong. It is tainted with sin. But this is the beauty of the glory of the image of God, of how God wired me. You probably don't share those letters with me. You probably are, you know, whatever that, you know, you like some of you in the room are like the direct opposite of me. My wife is pretty close. And that's who you are. My heritage, my race, my values, my attitudes, my likes, my joy, the things that make up me do not go away. When it says we are predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ, that does not mean we're going to be absorbed into some cosmic consciousness and lose ourself. Christ created you. in the image of God and for his glory. That you is messed up and marred in sin, but that you, if you were a follower of Jesus, has already been placed in Christ, and Christ has been placed in you to become the power of this. You already have this identity, and the promise that that identity ends like this. That identity ends with Mike being Mike, holy like Christ. Holy like Christ. And one day, this body who is still marred and tainted with sin and way too much ice cream will be put in the ground unless Christ returns before him. And I'm not looking forward to that day. I'm not hoping for it. But this is what I know, that this person, me, Mike, my identity, who I am, will one day rise again. This body will be renewed just like my spirit was renewed when I met Christ, and I will be a whole person in all eternity. I will be me like Jesus. That's where we're going. That's the trajectory. And here's what the scriptures are saying. When I am in Christ, I'm already that person. It's just got to show up in the way I live my life now so that my neighbors can see it. So that my wife feels the love of that person in Christ rather than the old nasty person who's always wanting his own way. So my kids feel the weight of the beauty of that. And they see Christ in me. And me in Christ. There's a trajectory that is a promise of where this is going. And that, this is who I am. Like, if you're a believer in Jesus, I have just given you the key to everything. Not me, this is the Spirit. I mean, I'm telling you, this is just everywhere in the Bible. You start reading the rest of the New Testament, just start reading it. And just every time you see the words in Christ, get your highlighter out, just mark it. It is saying something about who you are. It's not just a cute little phrase that pops in there. It is telling you, this is who you are, to the praise of his glory. C.S. Lewis told us this. It's my favorite thing that C.S. Lewis ever wrote, and he wrote a lot of stuff that I love. He says, here's our problem. If you're not a follower of Jesus, this is your problem in massive form, but so often as people who are followers of Jesus, this is where we struggle. He says, we are like this kid who is sitting in a mud pile, playing and making mud pies. Two blocks over is the beach and the ocean. And we are just way too easily pleased with a mud puddle and mud pies when a holiday at the sea is promised to us. When the world comes at us and says, you need to find your identity in this, and some idol says, hey, live for me, or, I mean, and you feel the weight of the enemies of your identity, just keep reminding yourself that whatever they are promising you is a mud pie in a mud puddle. You've been promised a holiday at the sea in Christ. Whatever identity you're living for, like, religion makes it feel like I have to give up so much to follow Jesus. It's not what I give up, it's what I get. I get Christ. And he is so worth it. He is so worth it. So here's the deal. We're going to close the sermon right now, and the band's going to come up here, and we're going to sing. And if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, you start saying, listen, this is who I am. Not because, like, you didn't earn one drop of this. This is all the grace of God in you. Start celebrating it. Start driving it deep down. Start looking yourself in the mirror, and don't repeat Stuart Smalley. Look yourself in the mirror and say, I am in Christ. All the blessings of Christ are mine. The life of Jesus is mine. This is who I am. Just keep telling yourself and let the Holy Spirit move you towards that person and the way you live your life. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, don't leave here without dealing with it. As we're singing over the next few minutes, all it takes is for where you're at just to turn to Christ and go, hey, I need this. Jesus, I know you live for me. You died for me. You gave your life to forgive me, and I am trusting in you. You rose again, and today I turn from me and I trust in you. Let that be the confession of your life and go from light to darkness, or darkness to light, to death, from death to life. Trust in Jesus today and let him give you a new identity. And what we'd like to do is, no matter where you're at, if you're thinking about what it means to follow Christ, or if you're here today and your heart's broken and you're just struggling, you're like, I hear you, Mike, but man, I've got so much on my shoulders and I just don't feel it and the last year's been so hard. I just need prayer, or I just need to talk to somebody. At the end of our service, we'll have some people over here ready to just meet with you and pray with you. We would love to have a conversation with you and do all we can to help you. In some cases, yes, we still need therapy. The you who is you needs to be with somebody who can help you process this on a deeper level. And let us start, whatever the conversation is, don't leave here without coming over and having that conversation. But we're going to sing a few songs. Lift your voices to the one who has redeemed you. And we're going to be taking up an offering. If you're a guest with us, we don't ask you to give. This service is our gift to you. But for those of you who are part of Genesis, this is your way of looking at all that Christ has done by placing you in Christ and saying, here's the deal. I freely and joyfully give back because I know what's been done for me. And so that's what our offering is all about. And we're going to celebrate and worship Jesus together because we know he is the one who is worthy. Lord, I thank you that one day when I was 7 years old, you took me out of Adam and you placed me in Christ. And that changed everything. And so today I pray over our people. I pray for all of us in here who wrestle with our identity. Lift our chin to see that our true identity is that we are in you. And for those of us who are here today who may not have a relationship with you, Lord, I pray that this will be the moment where you could bring conviction to the heart and you open people's eyes to see who you are, and that even today they will repent and believe. And we give you glory for all this. In your name I pray. Amen.